You're listening to the Big Sports Radio Network with Larry Smith, Mike Kegley, and Brad Sturdy.
One of the great stories that I think doesn't get talked about enough, because my God, there's Cooper Flagg, is St. John's and what they have done under Rick Pitino. I don't know who your coach of the year is this year, but this guy should be coach of the past generation. I mean, it is just, you know, it's one thing to be a Mike Krzyzewski or a Tom Izzo and stay in one place, but everywhere Rick Pitino goes, he gets it done. He just gets it done. It doesn't matter. Providence, Kentucky, Louisville, Iona, and St. John's now back in the top 10. Let's talk more about that. Zach Braziller, he's a college sports reporter for the New York Post. Zach, great. Welcome to Big Sports Radio. Listen, how much fun is it these days, right? To have the Johnnies back in the news where everyone's paying attention again.
I mean, I went from Mike Anderson to Rick Pitino. I mean, is anyone luckier than me? This year, like even last year where they weren't great, didn't really, you know, kind of caught fire late, just came up short. Even last year was a lot of fun. But this year is just, I mean, is off the charts. It's absolutely off the charts. I mean, top 10 team, top of the Big East, 21-3. I the biggest St. John's homer, I don't even think would have dreamt this up. I mean, it's pretty incredible. And they can't even, you know, they're not even, you know, they're not good offensive team yet. I mean, I think they're going to get better, but they're not, you know, they're one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the country, but it doesn't matter because they're awesome on defense. They rebound, they play so hard, and they just find ways to win.
You know, I think for me, what epitomizes what this season has been so far was that sequence late in the game last week against Marquette. And Marquette's got to get a bucket, right? You're down to the final minute. And they were St. John's was stifling on defense. I mean, they ran 20 seconds off the clock, kept running their sets, couldn't get anything going. And the crowd at MSG just goes crazy because they appreciated the effort there and getting the win, a pair of ranked wins. You know, Marquette, I think UConn was still ranked at the time. I mean, it's just, you know, to me I'm watching Pitino on the sidelines. I'm like, man, this guy, he's just so good. Yeah, he's got stuff. Everybody's got stuff in their life. Everybody, we've all done stuff, but man, he just coaches. It's so refreshing to see a guy who just gets it done. And the way they came on, like you said, they're not a great offensive team. They're not a great three-pointing team. I mean, there's a lot of flaws in this team. Like you said, they're 21-3.
Yeah, look, they have flaws, but the thing that, you know, I thought Shaka Smart broke it down better than anyone, where he said, and maybe he exaggerated a little, but he said, look, there are 50 things we talk about when it comes to winning games, and only one of them is shooting, and they're great at everything else. Now, obviously, there's some exaggeration there, but, you know, he's right. I mean, yes, they are not a good shooting team. No one's going to argue that, but they are elite defensively. They are an awesome offensive rebounding team. They have positional size, and they play so hard. That's the thing. And that's why look, any St. John's team, you know, is top 10. All of a sudden, New York City is a front. I grew up in the city. It's a front runner town. All of a sudden, now everyone wants to talk about St. John's and, right. Oh, I love St. John's and all this stuff. But it's a front runner town. But I do think there is a component, especially to the diehards, that we really like this team. It's because they play so hard. You know, like they'll be up 20 and you got guys diving for loose balls. Yeah. You know, they're, you know, after the huge win over UConn, RJ Lewis, one of their stars, is talking about, well, we got to get ready for Villanova. You know, like they're a throwback team. You know, they kind of remind me of the 1990 Knicks, you know, which were this hard hat team that, you know, that played great defense, that rebounded, that was so tough. Kind of remind me of like the college version of that, because they just, you know, they've had now four wins where they've been down 14 or more and won. You know, they don't blink facing adversity. And that's a really good quality to have, to be a team that just doesn't, you know, they can really take a punch. And, you know, you saw it in that UConn game where they were down 14 in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah. Talking with Zach Braziller of the New York Post about this St. John's basketball team finding themselves in the AP top 10 this season for the first time is 10 in a row. What is it about this team? Like you said, you're a New Yorker, you follow, you're a college sports reporter. So it's your job to follow this stuff, right? I mean, it's not just a passion, but it's also a profession. What is it about this team, the changes that maybe happened behind the scenes once Pitino came over from Iona and began to put his stamp on this program?
you know, he last year, his team he kind of had to put together on the fly. They really only had one returning guy, Joel Soriano. So he brought in a lot of guys, and he brought in a lot of offensive guys. He brought in a lot of shot makers, but they were not a good defensive team, and really didn't kind of figure it out a little bit until late February. But the key was he was able to keep guys. You know, RJ Lewis, who was one of the better players on the team last year, Zubi Ejiofor, who was the backup center and has emerged as one of the best big men in the country, Simeon Wiltshire, their starting two guard. So, like, those guys kind of knew what to expect in year two, and then they fit other guys around them that kind of fit the way he wants to play, like Kadari Richmond, Davon Smith, Aaron Scott, like really athletic, tough-minded guys. You know, Aaron Scott comes from North Texas, a program that if you don't play defense, you don't play. And this is a team that just plays so hard. And, like, I can't say that enough. I mean, you know, I think people really appreciate that. And I know, I mean, Patino's talked about it a million times, just, like, how hard they play, and it doesn't matter the score. And that's something that, you know, you just haven't seen a lot of around here in a while. And, you know, it's his second year Magic, man. It's happened everywhere he's gone. That second year, his teams just take a huge leap.
Yeah, yeah. At every turn. And I think about just in terms of, again, the success he's had everywhere. They always go to the NCAA tournament. Talk a bit about this Big East conference right now. You know, it's the one power conference that isn't, you know, 30 teams large, right? I mean, it's still, you know, a smaller team. We got to kind of get some, you know, a round robin going and kind of play each other, a home and home, I should say. What is it about this conference right now that, to me, it makes the Big East even more special? You always had the great, you know, Villanova and UConn and Marquette has come on with Shaka Smart. He's done a great job since arriving in Milwaukee. But how does it make this conference special now that it's still a smaller conference? It's not a mega conference. And, you know, you can't hide from anybody in the Big East.
Yeah, look, everyone plays each other twice, which I like, you know, round robin. So you gotta go to the other team's building every time. And look, I believe it's four out of the last eight national champions have come from this league. Villanova twice, UConn twice. I think you have four pretty good teams with St. John's, UConn, Creighton, and Marquette. Right now, I think Marquette and St. John's are kind of that 3-4 range. Creighton's probably around a 6, and UConn's a little further behind that. Obviously, UConn hasn't had McNeely, their star freshman, so that's been a factor as well. He just came back. But yeah, no, it's a really fun league. The Big East tournament is always an awesome event. It's never going to be what it was, sadly. It was just such a mammoth juggernaut of a conference, but it's still really good. And, you know, last year they only got three teams and everyone from the league was really upset about that. Fans were really upset about that. I think you're probably looking at four this year, unless someone just comes on out of nowhere. Xavier, I thought, had a shot. Losing at Villanova was a tough one. But yeah, it's kind of like I mentioned, St. John's a throwback. The league is a throwback because besides UConn, it's basketball only schools, Catholic schools. And, you know, in a time where you have all these just wonky matchups, you know, Michigan against USC and stuff like that, it's definitely kind of an old school throwback.
Yeah. And it's very cool. I mean, I know some changes a few years ago when Butler was added, Creighton was added. And for a minute, it's like, wait, Butler in the Big East. But they came in, fit in very well, Xavier. And it's been a lot of fun to watch. Getting to March right now, and again, the St. John's team, you know, to me, they've got two things in their pocket, obviously Rick Pitino, and the point, like you said, that they play defense. And that's the thing in March, is that you have to play defense. I think this is one of the most balanced tournaments we've got. I mean, obviously, yeah, Auburn and Duke are at the top, and we'll see Alabama. But I think really you could take, there's 25, 30 teams you can kind of throw into a bowl and say any of these teams are capable of winning six games in a row. And I think you'd have to include St. John's in that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the other thing they have, that they have two guys in the last 5 minutes that could get their own shot anytime they want. Between Richmond and Lewis, their guys are 6'6", 6'7". They're super athletic. They're, you know, it's kind of against analytics where they take a lot of mid-range twos, but they're good at it. And that's, you know, in the UConn game, it was Kadari and RJ Lewis who really took over. You know, the Marquette game, both those guys were great at the end of that game. You know, they're... very few teams are going to have guys at their position with their size and athleticism. And that to me is another big thing St. John's have, is They have two guys. They have like two closers. You know, Lewis and Richmond are actually both closers and guys who can make huge plays in the clutch. And I think that's another thing. Yes, they don't shoot threes, but when you need a bucket, they got two guys they can go to that can get one.
Yeah. I want to get your thoughts about just college basketball overall. We talked about, again, the Big East and how they're unique. What's been the big difference overall in college basketball, you think, this year with the mega conferences we've seen, Big Ten, SEC, ACC, Big 12, all, you know, getting larger thanks to the Pac-12. Obviously, NIL changing things, transfer portal. What's the biggest change in your mind this season that you've seen overall in college basketball?
I think they're more good, they're more good matchups because you have those kind of super leagues. And I think it's been a really good year because, look, you have all these star freshmen too. That's another thing NIL has done where maybe the detractors don't mention is NIL basically ran the NBA G League Night team out of business.
Yeah.
And so now you're getting the Dylan Harper, the Ace Bailey, the Cooper Flagg in college. And that's a great thing for the sport to get, even if they're only there for a year, that is a great thing for the sport. Instead of them going to the G League and playing in a in front of nobody, nobody's paying attention, nobody cares. And that to me is another thing where NIL has been really good. Look, I do think they need to figure something out with the portal. You need some kind of contracts. It can't be a free for all every year. I'd like to see two-year contracts. But look, I think in the overall NIL has been a good thing because it's keeping guys in college. It's sending guys to college. And I don't see a negative to that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, like you said, there are some dollars involved, but listen, let's be honest, in major sports, there've been dollars involved, right? Let's not kid ourselves. It's still not totally above board. There's still a lot of mystery kind of behind the curtain. What's really happening. But to your point, it has leveled the playing field where now there is, at least it is allowed. And so if a kid pulls up in an $80,000 car, you don't turn and look the other way. And curious, our producer Tony, who's a New York native as well, wonders kind of how this team would measure up to that great team of yesteryear with Chris Mullin and the big Canuck Bill Whittington.
It's a very different team. It's better defensively than that group, but obviously that group had some incredible star power. This team's got a long way to go, though. It's off to a great start, I guess 70% or so through the season. But look, that team had NBA guys, they great NBA guys. Mullen, one of the top 50 all time. Yeah. So I think it's way too early to make comparisons. It's just, look, it's fun. They're off to a great start, but we all know March is what matters. Yeah. And, if they lost, they're one and done, or they win a game and go down, there's going to be no comparisons to that team. So before we even make comparisons, let's see what they do in March. But hey, I mean, for a program for the last 25 years that's been irrelevant for the most part outside of a few years, they're a huge story now. One of the best stories in the entire sport. And look, I think they're getting better. They're going to get better. Like, they're a better offensive team than they've played like the last few weeks. They're a better, they're never going to be a great shooting team, but I do think they're a better shooting team than they've shown. And last year's team took a leap in mid to late November with their weakness defensively. If this team can even take any kind of a leap offensively by March, I mean, who knows how good they can be?
Wow. Yeah, that's true. Hey, quick question before I let you go. I'm headed to New York next weekend to go to MSG for the very first time. What's your recommendation? What should I do when I get there?
At the Garden?
Yeah.
Enjoy it. Which game are you going to?
Illinois Duke.
Oh.
Saturday. So, yeah.
You probably, go to Stout. It's a pretty good bar right by the Garden. Okay. It'll probably be jammed because it always is.
Okay.
But yeah, that'll be fun. I mean, Cooper Flagg, Illinois is obviously a fun team. Go to Stout. Have a beer or something and enjoy yourself. But yeah, that's going to be a wild crowd. Get there early because that place is going to be hopping.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I had to ask. I've been to New York, been to Times Square. I've done, I've been out to U.S. Open. I've been to Yankee Stadium, but I have not done MSG. So I'm excited. Right. I want to ask an expert, and I got to take some notes here. All right. Zach, listen, great to spend some time with you. Enjoy this ride, man. It's been so long.
Oh, St. John. I am. I've covered this team for a decade, so I'm definitely enjoying this.
And folks, by the way, he's smiling ear to ear right now talking about Zach. We appreciate it. Thanks so much, buddy.
All right, have a good one, guys.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Zach Braziller, once again, he's a college sports writer from New York Post. Be sure to check him out on social media. Just doing a great job following the St. John's. Listen, you can tell it's they had to twist his arm, right, to go cover this team, right? The St. John's Johnnies. But it's been fun to watch them 21-3 here midweek as they get into March right now. All right. Keep it with us. We've got more to come on Big Sports Radio.
Everything is expensive right now. Gas, food, you name it. You're spending more. You are making the same or less money. So, what do? You rack up credit card debt. That's what you do. It's not your fault. It's the economy. And guess what? If you rack up too much credit card debt like some of us, you can't pay your bills. Then the credit card companies, as nice as they are, start hounding you for money. Then you start your downward spiral. A smart thing for you to do is to call the Zero Debt. They can help you consolidate all your credit card bills into one affordable payment. Millions of people have done it. It works to make you debt-free. Make this free call right now. It costs you nothing to learn more.
800-507-7293. 800-507-7293. 800-507-7293. That's 800-507-7293.
Some NFL controversy, Mike. Controversy of Lamar. No, not Kendrick Lamar. Lamar Jackson is who we're talking about here. Lamar Jackson doesn't win MVP, but his first team AP quarterback, Josh Allen, wins MVP. Mike, did Lamar Jackson get robbed?
I think a lot of voters decided, well, I'll give one guy one award and the other guy another award. That's what I think, you know. It's hard for me to tell. Lamar is a gifted guy, hasn't won in the playoffs, and you know, neither, and Allen hasn't won far enough into the playoffs. So I think both of those guys almost need a Super Bowl ring to consolidate a few votes to put themselves ahead of the other. And I think the first one that wins a Super Bowl might be the guy to get both those awards and step ahead of the other guy. I'm not saying that's right.
Well, and, you know, it's not like Mahomes is winning MVPs, but he keeps winning the AFC. So he's doing something, yeah, right. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, but yes. I don't have a problem with Josh Allen winning. I thought Lamar Jackson had better numbers this year than he had a year ago. I think that's the issue. And he wins last year. Probably shouldn't have won last year. Let's be honest. He probably shouldn't have been the MVP a year ago. So I think that, but I didn't hear any controversy then. You know, so I always find that interesting. You know, this dude's won a million MVP. He's won twice. This would be his third MVP award. So
here's the interesting thing is did Derrick Henry make Lamar a better player, or did Lamar make Derrick Henry a better player this year? I think it's interesting to try to, I don't know how you pull that apart, but I think it'd be interesting analysis.
Well, I mean, I think you look at his numbers. Lamar's numbers much better this year, having Derrick Henry on his team. I think that was a big part of it. So, but I understand the MVP argument too, because if Josh Allen wasn't on the Bills, what is their record?
Yeah.
I mean, like, seriously, it's like, are they 5-11, 5-12, or whatever?
Is Josh Allen? I'm trying to figure out, is he more of a Tony Cordero says 3-14?
Yeah.
Is Josh Allen, is he this era's John Elway?
He could be. He's got the talent, but eventually he's going to break through. He needs Terrell Davis. That's what he needs, and he'll be okay. No, but he's younger too. I mean, he's younger. He's still young. You know, he's still got a lot of time left, and these guys are playing until they're 40. So, what about, you know, let's talk Hall snubs and Hall things. I thought, you know, Eli gets snubbed, doesn't make the Hall. Thoughts?
Didn't have any problem with that at all. He won two Super Bowls. His defense got hotter than HE double toothpicks two times, and they had amazing runs. They had two Super Bowls that were largely, each one was a key play, was a catch that you literally couldn't replicate if you threw it 1,000 times. And so I think he's a solid QB. I don't know that I would say he's Hall of Fame worthy, but you know, but again, I'm not one on the rings mean less to me than most people, because again, I am a firm believer that the NFL and football is the greatest team sport out there, because you can't convince me in any way, shape, or form that there's more than one or two quarterbacks who were better than Dan Marino, but he had no defense for the entire career and maybe two seasons of having a decent running game.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that that's a huge, I totally agree with that. But I do think Eli's probably going to get in at some point.
Yeah, he'll get in.
I do. I think that's my big thing was, you know, Sterling Sharp was a dominant receiver for a really short time. And like we're talking in the break, it reminds me a little bit of Don Mattingly in baseball. But Sharp gets in, and guys like Torrey Holt. I thought Torrey Holt, you look at his career numbers during that run when the greatest show on turf with the Rams was Marshall Faulk and Isaac Bruce, and they were fantastic. I really thought he was a guy who could be in there. You know, Sterling Sharp, obviously great for a while, short period of time. So that also gives you that argument. Is it just your peak, how great you were at your peak, or do you have to have longevity? What's the key? And I guess that's hard to.
Well, the guy that I don't understand is Darren Woodson from the Cowboys in the 90s, was all pro and multiple times, was at times was the best player on their defense. And I listened to some sports writer talk, and he said, well, you know, there's certain players that they get it in the first 5 years, and then other players, I think they have like 20 years of eligibility. And this guy kind of indicated that Woodson would probably get it in year 18, 19, or 20. And I'm like, okay, so there's some sort of grading scale that these guys might be using. And I know that Sterling Sharp, you know, was on pace to set all sorts of records. And then that neck injury, you know, cut short his career. And Holt's another one, I think, that will inevitably be in the Hall. But they've got this little chart, and they're like, well, maybe he should be ahead of somebody, but behind somebody else. I don't know.
It's an interesting concept. I mean, what do you determine? You know, I always look at the baseball side. There are certain guys that should be in there, and some people don't vote for him because it's a first ballot or this and that.
It's
the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. But yeah, that's,
I agree with you.
You know,
and I still think guys
are either good enough or they're not good enough. It's just that simple.
And I don't really care about their behaviors. This makes me different than everybody else. Oh, but
totally agree.
And Pete Rose should be in there. Barry Bonds should be in there. Roger Clemens should be in there.
Here's the thing. Here's my thing. Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds did enough before they were juicing to be in this Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? I mean, when you look at numbers they did.
And the hypocrisy of these guys who took the greenies in the 50s, 60s, and 70s and took the amphetamines, you know, for literally 20 years. And now they're pointing at the steroid guys saying, those guys are bad, but ours was okay.
Well, or some steroid guys get in because we like them and they're nice.
Yeah.
And the other steroid guys, that we didn't like them, so we're not going to put them in because we didn't like those guys. So, well, that's we don't have enough time to solve all the Hall of Fame problems. But
we should just be in control.
Next week we'll take it over. We'll see what we do.
We'll have Elon appoint us.
There we go. We Hall of Fame Doge. So, all right, we'll be back right after this.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Are drug and alcohol problems hitting you too close to home? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything.
877-927-3380. 877-927-3380. That's 877-927-3380.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it.
800-448-0828. 800-448-0828. 800-448-0828. That's 800-448-0828.
Little NBA talk here, and Mike, as guys who are from Illinois. Are we ready for the Bulls to just tear it down, just burn it all down and start from scratch?
You've seen it with other teams that, the Detroit Pistons now are starting to come back. They've got a team stocked full of high draft picks. Indiana Pacers are better. The Bulls need to burn it down. They need to trade every asset that could be, that could possibly get them a draft pick, possibly get them something. And they just need to start over. And to be honest with you, if I were Billy Donovan, I would be looking to get back into the college game or do what you really do when you want to be a great coach. Go to ESPN for a year, rehab your image there, and then pick your job, whether it's NBA or college, that you'd like.
Yeah, I just don't see it. It's almost like they built around Zach LaVine, and I never saw Zach LaVine as being, he's a fine player, yes, but he's not your star guy, So it's always interesting to see how this, how it plays out in the NBA, because it is so, it is one of those things where, if you're not, and I was listening actually, I think it was Colin Cowherd talking about the NBA draft. Now, if you're not one of those top teams, like getting that top pick, you get Wemby, you get somebody like that. LeBron obviously was a game changer, those types of things. If you're not that team, it's a crapshoot. Yes. This isn't like the NFL draft either. So it is really hard to build through the draft. You got to sign the right guys. You got to get lucky and you got to lose big, I think, before you can kind of do that. I mean, has there ever been a franchise more just resting on the laurels of one player than the Chicago Bulls? It's Michael Jordan's era. And then everything else about the Bulls, I will say Derrick Rose did almost get there, right?
Injury stole him.
But really, the Bulls are just Michael Jordan and everybody else doesn't matter. I hate to say that, but it's just reality. That's the only time they've really been, Rose had the time before the injury, but, it's a rough.
Tom Thibodeau took care of that with his extensive minutes and he'll probably do the same thing to the Knicks.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. No question. That's where Brunson's going to be in the same mode. So Lakers, how about the Lakers trade? They make the big trade, get Luka. Then they wanted to get a guy to run the ball screen lobs and all those things and get to the rim. And the Dalton Connect was on his way over to Charlotte and he's back. And so because they didn't pass physical, the Williams didn't pass physical. It's always interesting to see this happen in the NBA. So what happens now?
You get Cousins, the old Kentucky player. I think he's playing in Turkey.
Go pull him back.
Pull him back from Turkey. Bring him. Look, Jahlil Okafor's back in the league.
Yeah. Hey, so, Kofi Coburn from Illinois.
No, I'm telling you right now, if you need somebody to get, I would just get Kofi and say, look, you just got to get every rebound you possibly can. I don't care what you do beyond get a rebound. And then if you get the ball in the lane, dunk it. Beyond that, you do whatever you want. You get some popcorn, you have a hot dog. I don't care. Rebound and dunk in the lane.
Instead, they have the vaunted Alex Lynn back. So, we'll see how that goes. How about another note? How about Marshall Faulk, right? He goes to where? Where's he going?
Going to be with Coach Prime.
Prime.
I tell you, Faulk is another guy. He certainly was prepared on his TV stuff. He was never a guy who, at least I never got the impression, he was a guy who was just winging it or not putting his time in. So that bodes well for a guy who wants to coach. And at his peak, when you consider, catching the ball and then obviously his skills as a running back, he's probably top five all time if you get both modes of gaining yards together.
Yeah, he was MVP, right? This is a guy who was MVP of the league. He was at his peak, he was fantastic. He was one of the most fun players to watch he was like a pass catching version of, he's like poor man's Barry Sanders a little bit, but pass catching was on another level. Could use him in the passing game. So he's fantastic. So, there's a lot of street cred there on that staff, man. What do you got? Three Hall of Famers or something on their coaching staff. I guess that's pretty good. I guess you're going to go big, go big or go home, right? In Colorado.
Yeah, and they landed a QB out of the portal, so we'll see where Coach Prime is next year. There was a lot of people who said when Shadur was gone, so was he. He's proved those people wrong. Now we'll see if he can be successful without his son.
You're listening to the Big Sports Radio Network with Larry Smith, Mike Kegley, and Brad Sturdy.
Big Ten basketball now. One of the great stories we've talked about, Michigan and going into the weekend, sitting atop the conference. What a great job that Dusty May has done. Another fantastic story right there in the upper division and vying for a double bye in the tournament. First year in the Big Ten is UCLA. And joining us now, Mike Ragalotto. He's with the Bruin Report online. Mike, hope things are well in L.A. Hey, listen, 7-game win streak for the Bruins coming up strong just short the other night in Champaign. But first things first, let's talk about the UCLA and the Big Ten. What's that been like for not only the reporters, the beat covering this, but also all the teams, the coaches, student athletes? What's this experience been like so far?
It's been very bizarre because not only is it we have to take into consideration time zones, we have to take into consideration that games are playing are being played all over, you know, the week. Last year in the Pac-12, it was pretty simple. Men played Thursday, Saturday. The women played Friday, Sunday. You knew what you were getting. Cool. Now I have to deal with stuff like 5 p.m. games on a Tuesday, which is just that throws me off a little bit.
And but, streaming.
streaming too. Yeah, we are definitely in the world of not just national, you know, broadcast television, but streaming services. So, which I do like that aspect. There's, there are just so many games that being able to put them on, you know, ESPN or FS1 or Fox or NBC is fantastic, but, you can now, you know, watch these games, you know, wherever, you basically have a cell signal or Wi-Fi. But yeah, it's taken some adjustment. I've had to adjust certain articles that I usually do on the weekends or now have to be done midweek. So it's just a whole new world, and you know, we just have to adapt to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about this Bruins team right here. Mick Cronin, one thing, the travel, we know, we talk about office. Obviously, you got to go back east. That's where the bulk of the league is. It's just the unfortunate part of it. Mick Cronin was complaining about that travel. Do you sense that it's kind of worn on the teams? Football was different because it's Saturday. It's kind of, there is some rigidity to the schedule. There's always so much, you know, leeway you're going to have with that during the season. Basketball is a little different. And it sounds like that Mick has tried to, you know, come back and, you know, push back against that.
Yeah, I understand that it's hard, you know, traveling for one game to go two time zones away, you know, 3 to 5 hours, depending on where they're playing. But, you know, that's what it is. I mean, when come tournament time, and even in the non-conference, teams are traveling all over the place. But I understand that it is a little bit harder. And it is weird contrasting that with Corey Close, the women's basketball team, who a few weeks ago, they had a 3-game road trip on the East Coast, played in New Jersey for 2 games and then down to Maryland. And she was like, yeah, bring it. We want every challenge. We want to play the best teams. So, you know, I guess it's just perspective, and, you know, maybe it does wear down a team. And I'm not saying that the women's and men's teams schedules are exactly the same, but it does wear down on a team.
Yeah. I mean, the travel, there's no question that's going to happen. And that was always a concern of ours. And then now, you know, getting into the spring of baseball, softball, those non-rev sports, we'll see how it affects them as well. Talking about this Bruins team right now, the 7-game win streak. So again, winning 7 out of the last 8, very firmly right there in the upper division of the Big Ten. What clicked with this team that it was not playing quite as well earlier, but really it's kind of found their groove here in February?
You know, I said this at the beginning of the season. UCLA has quite a bit of new players coming in, and despite the fact that they're talented and have experience, you know, some upperclassmen, they still have to figure out how to play with each other. They have to figure out how to play Mick Cronin ball, which is obviously a defensive minded style of basketball. But it's been pretty up and down up until like maybe about a few weeks ago. There would be offense and no defense. There'd be defense and no offense. And as Cronin has to had to figure out how to bring both of those together and play consistently. And they did play pretty consistently in that 7-game stretch. You know, the Michigan State game, a bit of an outlier because those were just two good defensive teams that just went at each other. But for the most part, UCLA has been able to put away teams. And, you know, the defense lacked for a while, but it seemed like in the last three games prior to this game against Illinois, the defense was back. It was there. They're playing exactly what Mick Cronin wants. But then, you know, sometimes you just go on the road and you run into a very good Illinois team. They did what they could to come back in that game, but it was just out of reach. And, you know, when you have one guy, one or two guys trying to get the offense going and no one else is really stepping up until late in the game, it's not going to be a good recipe for success.
Yeah, no question about that. Illinois, just the third team to score 80 points on the Bruins. 83-78 was the final in that one. When you look at this team, it feels like, though, Mick Cronin is, boy, he's a veteran. He's it just has done it everywhere. How do you see them finishing out here? It seems that all the contenders have really difficult schedules in the final couple of weeks of the regular season in the Big Ten.
Yeah, this is when it gets really fun. I was looking at the schedules, not just UCLA, but Michigan, Michigan State, Purdue, the ones that are at the top of the conference right now. It's pretty brutal, and it's really fun to see, especially as we head into the Big Ten tournament where, you know, the top four get double byes. And that is another interesting aspect of the move to the Big Ten, because you have not every single team gets into the tournament, and the top four get rewarded with some extra days of rest. Now, definitely Mick Cronin wants to try to get into that top four, because I'm sure he's tired of flying around, and especially since this is going to be in Indiana. But I think UCLA has enough to pull it out. They do still play at Purdue, and then playing at Northwestern is going to be a bit of a challenge, but they've been pretty good at home. So I think if they take care of their home stands and get one of those two Northwestern Purdue games, I think they'll be a lock for the top four.
Yeah, it would be, at least it's going to be fun to see who goes through. We were looking at the same thing, Michigan schedule, Purdue, Illinois, and their final remaining five games, four of them are all above them. Five, the fifth would have been UCLA beat the other night. Scary to think. Here's how everyone talks about the SEC, and they deserve the kudos. But the Big Ten, if the tournament began to, you know, this weekend, it would be Michigan, Purdue, Michigan State, and Wisconsin as the four double byes, and then 5, 6, 7 would be UCLA, Maryland, and Illinois. I mean, imagine those guys, those teams coming in. If you're one of the top four, you're at the probably face one of those three teams in your opener. I mean, that's just how deep the Big Ten is, that you get a team like UCLA may not get a bye. And how would you like to face them if you're one of the favorites in your quarterfinal game?
Yeah, exactly. They, you know, a team like UCLA is going to be tough to beat in the postseason. Cronin always has them ready.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, this is just a whole new world that we have to get used to. I, for one, have my I think there's some advantages and disadvantages. Again, I think the scheduling for the season is a little crazy, but, you know, whether we have to get used to that or if the Big Ten can actually help out and give, and not just UCLA, but USC, Oregon, and Washington, and the teams coming west from the East Coast, I think that'll help out a lot too. But, you know, it's the first season, they're getting all the kinks out and trying to figure out how to properly put this thing together. But yeah, it's definitely interesting.
Yeah. And you know that at some point, the Big Ten, the office up in Rosemont, Illinois, they're going to find a way to make sure they have a Big Ten tournament in Vegas. So there's going to be, at some point, it's going to come back around and be in favor of UCLA and USC and the other West Coast teams. Talking here once again with Mike Recalato with the Bruin Report online. Bruins men's basketball, not the only team. Obviously, UCLA is having just a banner year. The Bruins outstanding still right now, you know, sitting atop the rankings. What has been so special about this team that they've been able to put it together this year and have this kind of run?
it's a good mixture of experience, upper class experience, and just having the pieces that Corey Close needs to be successful. One of the things that the team was in dire need of a few years ago was a dominant post, a long post. They got that last year with Lauren Betts, who transferred in from Stanford, and the Bruins did fairly well. Pardon me. They had their number two ranking, which is the highest in program history. And then, you know, you bring back six juniors, and they're all just playing in sync. They've played together. They've had some transfers out, but they've also brought in some key experience. And it's just coming together at the right time. Lauren Betts is absolutely, you know, phenomenal right now for UCLA. And then combining that with Kiki Rice at the point, they have a really good inside out game. But, you know, it's prominent when you watch this team. And even Coach Close will tell you, they pride themselves on defense. And they are a very good defensive team, especially in the backcourt. They really limit their opponents' top scorers and players that really can get to the basket. That's why you able to not just win, but win big. They barely, I should rephrase this. I was going to say they barely beat Oregon. No, they actually won by 10. They barely got to double digits, and they kept that streak alive of 21 straight games of beating teams by double digits. They have they are 6-0 against the top 25. Five out of those six have been double-digit wins. So it's just really incredible how they're coming together to be this dominant of a team. And it's funny because even the coach says, but you know, for someone like me that's been watching them for several seasons, they still have some weaknesses here and there, but to have weaknesses and still be that dominant is impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. And you want to peak in March and to think they still could do that. To be fair to everyone listening, we are recording this conversation right before UCLA takes on USC, number one versus number eight, over at the Galen Center. They're going to face each other again in a couple of weeks. At Pauley Pavilion in the season finale. So, you know, it's funny, not just for bragging rights in LA, but bragging rights in the Big Ten. The Bruins go in 11-0 in conference play, USC 11-1. And we expect both these teams not only to get high seeds, both could be one seeds in the NCAA, but both make a run to the Final Four as well.
Exactly. That it's also really impressive what Lindsay Gottlieb has done across town. In such a short time. What, I think she's been there 4 years and she already has them as national contenders. Just impressive. And UCLA is really going to have to do quite a number to slow down. They're not going to stop. They have to slow down Juju Watkins and Kiki Arifian if they want to get that win. Now, USC has been pretty dominant too. They've unfortunately lost two games. They lost to Notre Dame and then at Iowa a few weeks ago. So if UCLA if UCLA plays their game, I think they still can beat USC by double digits, but I think it's going to be a much closer game. Last year, UCLA did not shoot well at Galen Center and they came out with a loss. That was their first loss of last season. But I think this is a completely different team. And I think that they have all their ducks in the row. They're going to be focused and disciplined and hopefully come out of there with a narrow win against USC.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be nice to extend that streak, right, of double-digit victories, but maybe not. So USC, 22nd-ranked Michigan State coming into Westwood here this weekend. And then they've got Illinois on a win streak. They're banged up, but Shauna Green finds them a way to keep winning. Iowa, they have to travel to Iowa City. Should beat Wisconsin. Then again, the USC to finish out the season before they go on to the Big Ten tournament. Hey, Mike, we appreciate your time as always. Listen, enjoy the travel. Hopefully we'll see you in Indianapolis at the Big Ten tournament and get a chance to talk with you soon here before March Madness kicks in.
Great. Thank you for having me and have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Appreciate it. Once again, Mike Ragalotto joining us. He is with the Bruin Report Online. Be sure to give him a follow on Instagram, Twitter, X, all the things that they're called out there. And go Bruins. They're having a great season, men and women. All right, more Big Sports Radio to come after this.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket. The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-425-1161. 800-425-1161. 800-425-1161. That's 800-425-1161.
Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on creditworthiness, value of the vehicle, loan term, and other factors.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it.
800-448-0828. 800-448-0828. 800-448-0828. That's 800-448-0828.
I just with us here on the show. It's about that time, come up to the top of the hour, end of the show, where we make our picks. Sturdy, how did we do last week?
Mike tied for first with all us.
How did he do that?
Because we missed everything.
It's called
Super Bowl winner, Super Bowl winner, Super Bowl MVP, and prop bets. We missed them all.
It's called Tiger Blood, baby.
I think it's better to say we tied for last with Mike.
Winning.
Let's face it.
Where's Charlie Sheen when I need him?
That's right. I mean, it was brutal. I mean, how bad is it? Because here's the thing: when you've got, and my wife had some show on this week, and I don't know what it was, but it was a show with some women on it, and they were saying, you know, I really don't know anything about football, but I know I really felt bad for Kansas City, and I just said, well, one woman, she said, I was telling the screen, stop scoring. Let them score once.
Yeah, it was 10-0 when it hit me that there was no chance for Kansas City.
Yeah, that was bad. They just domination. You know what? I don't feel bad for the Chiefs fans because the Raiders haven't been in the Super Bowl since, well, I don't. Mike was a little kid, so and neither of the Cowboys. So
since long for the Raiders, the cell phones hadn't been in existence yet. That's how long it was.
It's been
a really long time. There's no question. Funniest thing, I'm at a Super Bowl party briefly. I don't care for Super Bowl parties. I got roped into one. Beautiful people, my neighbors. They were great. We stayed for the first half. That's fine. But someone's had a great quip. This guy's a Bears fan. And he said, well, at least we know what Mahomes would look like if the Bears were smart enough to draft him so many years ago. Just like that. No line.
For his life. Yeah.
Running for his life. Exactly. So, but hats off to the Eagles. Jalen Hurts, loved that story. You know, loses his job at Alabama due to injury, goes to Oklahoma. And now here he is, two Super Bowls, one championship, MVP, gorgeous fiance. He's a great young man. What an ambassador for the game. You know what? Hats off to him and the Eagles, and God bless. So, all right, let's get to this week's picks. It's all hoops. Let's start in the Big Ten, Michigan State at Illinois.
What a fun matchup this is. Tom Izzo going for the Big Ten record for wins, trying to pass Bob Knight. Wasn't able to do it against Indiana at home, but I like Illinois here. I think Illinois is getting healthy, getting whole, and that's why I think they're going to be able to pull this one out.
Yeah, I like Illinois as well. You just don't want to get a couple calls against you like they got when Joe Paterno won his last game, and there was just bad call after bad call. So let's go Illinois.
Yeah, I think Illinois ran out of their quotas of bad calls. Used them all up in East Lansing last month. So we'll see KJ actually play 30 minutes in this one. I'll take Illinois as well. They're beginning to right the ship. They understand how important it is. Obviously, the emotion with Terrence Shannon Jr.'s jersey being raised to the rafters. I'll take the Illini before they hit the road. Wisconsin at Purdue.
I tell you what, playing in Mackey Arena is not for the faint of heart. And this is why I'm going to take the Boilermakers over the Badgers. Badgers are playing well. They've had a really good season. Greg Gard has really overachieved with this group. But I just think Purdue at home is going to be tough to beat, as we've seen.
That place is a deafening place to play at. Mm-hmm. If you haven't been there, it's worth going there. If you feel like you're coming out of a concert, and I don't think Wisconsin is good enough to beat this Purdue team, not at Mackey.
Yeah, Purdue's at home. I agree with you. At Wisconsin, I'd give the Badgers a shot, but I think it's Purdue in this one. They did lose at home against Ohio State. We know that. But I think they take care of business in this one. To the SEC now. Number one versus number two, Auburn at Alabama.
This is one where I love Alabama on offense. I think they are just fantastic. They're so fun to watch. But I think Auburn pulls this one out even at Alabama, and I think Auburn gets the win.
I like Auburn a lot, but I think Alabama is going to be up for this with a home game, and they're going to come out of this with the victory.
I'm going to take the home crowd, spurring them on, giving it that extra bit of zhuzh to get over the hump against the Tigers. Listen, I know Auburn already lost a game. They should lose another couple games as well, just to kind of know what that feels like. Bruce Pearl, I know all the Illini Nation feels about him 3 decades later. Fantastic coach, but I'm going to take Alabama in this one. To now the Big East, St. John's coming off a loss against Villanova a couple nights ago, at home against Creighton in this one.
Give me the Johnnies. They have Patino. I think he's the best coach in college basketball.
I'll take that bet, and I'll even raise it one. I think he's the best coach in basketball, period. I'll take St. John's as well.
Yeah, I can't go against Patino. I think he's just fantastic, and like we've said before, we all got baggage. Whatever he did was 10 years ago. Let it go. Let it move on. This guy's fantastic, and I can't wait to see what his team does.
It's only like 30 seconds, too. So
yeah, exactly. All right, I guess we go. Producer Tony's telling us we got to go. Listen, appreciate all the guests who came by. Man, it was jam-packed. A lot of visitors. We enjoyed them. Hope you did as well. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the game. Stay safe. Take care of each other. We will talk to you next week in the same place, same station. See ya.
This has been a presentation of LMBC Sports LLC and Revision Sound. We'll be back next week on Big Sports Radio Network.